If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
You know the way, like, you wonder, are you going to turn into your parents? That one of my favorite jokes from the TV show Friends was that when Rachel Green said, "I spent so long trying not to become my mother, I've become my father." Thought that was a really good joke, and that's, I'm relating to it, because I, not that I tried not to become my parents, but I do notice myself becoming my mom, like, just around. I do like a big clean in the house, I caught myself saying this to Raymond at home. These are the things I've said. I was like, "No, do you not like it when it's clean like this? Like,
yeah.
Do you not like that?" Yeah. Or sometimes I'll say, like, I've never said that out loud, or I've gone back, or I've put in new candles and I've lit them and then come back and go, "No, I think they're lovely. They're lovely. They're lovely. That's actually lovely." And then I caught myself doing that. Now, I haven't actually said this one out loud because I caught myself in time, but it was like, if I pick up something off the floor, I'd turn to Raymond as if he is my child and go, "Do you not see the dirt? Does not see the dirt." And I'm like, I haven't said that out loud, but I have taught it. You know, when we were kids once, my mom was giving out to us. There were three of us in the one bedroom at one stage. And she said, "Do you know what I picked up off your floor the other day? Do you know what I picked up off the floor? A piece of shit." And we were like seven. So I'm like, chances were probably was a piece of shit. Probably was some shit there.
I'm a little bit sad.
He was the best guy around.
Oh my, is it hot in here or what?
You're an attractive guy.
That's the fabulous Tony Cantwell.
I'm talking about Shane Daniel Byrne.
Idiots on the ball!
That's the thing. Like, you know the way this modern parenting now allow for that. There's a modern parenting allow for people to just go fucking awful. Remember one time my dad smashed a table. It sounds like he was aggressive. He wasn't. He was just so tired and we were being so annoying. Mm. And he was like, "Stop it. That's enough. That's enough." And he smashed his table. And we were like, "All right, girl." Yeah. And like, we didn't care. We were like, okay. We couldn't wait for him to leave so we could talk about, like, "Oh my God, see me smash that table." It was only a piece of shit. It wasn't a real table or anything. But like, I feel very scared. And my dad will somehow hear that and go, "No, it's not a violent
manner." There's a line though, isn't it? There's a kind of like, up to the point of anger, and there's a sweet spot or about here where it's like, okay, he means business. But then it's like, hang on the fuck. Let's talk about that shit for a second. That was a bit of an overreaction.
Yeah.
You know, and when you're young, you don't quite pick up on it. But then around seven, you're kind of like, that was a bit fucking.
But I'd say whenever my mom came home, she just laughed at him for doing that.
Yeah.
And was like, because, like, you know, it's just so stupid. But we were being, so he probably was like, did work, then was cooking us dinner, and we were like scribbling and scrabbling and fighting or whatever, having scraps or whatever. And he's just like, "Shut the fuck up."
He obviously, English isn't his first language, so he would get angry, but like, it's very hard to be angry in a different language. And so he would slowly, like, just, his language skills would get so contracted, like the muscles, and he just couldn't speak. And he'd be like, you know, you'd just being a little bollocks or whatever like that. And he'd be like, "You are don't. It's so no. And really not okay. No. That's okay. No." And it came out, and he would just pick things up and then put them back down kind of aggressively. So you're like picking up, like, he got this cup here, and he'd be like, "No, it's not. It's no. I don't like it. Say wrong. Okay, guys? Not okay."
It's like he's having an English stroke.
He did. I remember one time we were driving to Germany. And we were driving to Germany, four of us all in the car, just fucking screaming at each other. And he was like, "This is it. This ain't going." And then he pulled the car in on the fucking, like, in the hard shoulder, whatever it's called. He goes, "This car, it ain't gone nowhere. This car ain't gone nowhere." Just can't speak English.
I don't have children, but lots of my friends do now. And I feel like people are gone, moving away from that. There's a therapy speak element, that type of falseness to, like, you know, that there's a famous TikTok of the woman saying, she's playing with the lamp, and I don't say no or stop, I say whatever.
Yeah.
You have children. Is there a move away from that? Like, can
100%.
Can you just not scream and shout and stamp your feet?
You can't scream and shout. And this is what you have to do.
Are we damaged from it?
I don't know. Well, what it is kind of like sometimes the overreaction. So say if it's like, say there was a moment where Sonny was too aggressive with Indy, and he was trying to ride her around like a horse. She was crawling, and he's trying to ride her around like a
that
horse.
That's fun.
But, you know, he's kind of like bucking on her, and she's like falling every time, you know? And then I was like, you're being a bit too rough with her there, so, you know, I might have to protect her. I might have to take her away. You know, I might have to move her somewhere else, not take her away. You don't say that. And then, so he kept doing it, so I took her to put her somewhere else, and he went to try and fucking hoof her in the head.
Oh my god.
And that really, I was like, what the fuck? I was like, Sonny. And I could feel, I have a sixth sense for knowing when my wife is looking at me, so I knew she was looking at me, so I had to be like, now son, I know it's tough, man, you're angry, I know you really want to kick the fucking head off your sister, like, I know it. That's what you have to be like, I know it's hard, buddy, I know it's hard, you have these big feelings, you want to kick the fucking head off a little baby.
And why is that better?
It's better for them acknowledging that they're annoyed. Well, one, a tantrum's going to happen either way. So yeah. they need to end the tantrum. So you could be butting heads with them, but they don't get closure on the loop unless they finish the tantrum. So all you have to do is kind of guide them in the best way, in the safest way, to have the tantrum like an isolated bomb somewhere else. Mm. But the thing is, a lot of parents, you know, if he could easily just say like fuck you, you know, and I have to, and if I rise to that, then he's going to rise to it, and then
not fuck you, man.
Yeah, fuck you. How dare you say that to me? You know, it's not going to get you anywhere. So you have to be like, I know you're angry, man. So look, we can talk about that later when we're a bit calm, you know? In the same way, in a relationship.
He's terrified of you. Like, I was terrified of my parents.
Yeah, I was terrified of my dad, yeah.
They had a level, this sort of like, your parents, this is how I understood it, was they had a level that they never really had to go to, but we all understood was there. Like when your mom counts to five, five, we've never gone to five,
yeah,
but it terrifies me, the concept of five. Mm-hmm. So it's like you're kind of policing them with the fear of how angry they could get. It probably doesn't exist. Like my little brother, he kind of saw through that because he's like 10 years younger, and he saw through that, and he didn't like, he wasn't scared. She was like, yeah, fucking count to five, I don't care. But like, and then my mom would be like, five. What do we do? What do we do? I don't know. It's showtime.
Take out his sword.
Takes out his sword. He's just crying, going, I'm so sorry you made me do this.
Yeah.
Never let
four and a half. 4.75.
The babies always know. They always have ways around it. They're tired. You have four as well, isn't it, in your family?
Yeah, there's four of
us. I have four as well. So the youngest one's like, I can do what I want.
Yeah.
And like, we got loop-de-loops. He got Solero shots. You know what I mean? This is the well, that just, you know, the economy was changing.
I didn't know he was a billionaire.
Killed the tiger. Yeah.
That was £1.
Cornetto softs.
Wow.
Whatever he wanted, he got it. Anyway, but yeah, they figure out ways. He used to say, my mom, okay, so he'd broken something or whatever. He'd be like, now don't get mad. Don't get mad. And it's like, that's so cute.
That's
adorable. That he knew what he was doing. Absolutely.
He's
psychopath.
Doing like modern parenting with your parents.
Yeah, that's really good. Now don't get mad. But I shat in the bath, whatever it would be.
The poo, the shit on the floor was me. And now I'm going to let you have your tantrum. Mm.
I don't know. In answer to the thing as well, I don't know. Like, I don't know if it's going to be any different. I think what you're actually, what this generation are trying to make is something we've never seen before. A super soldier of emotions. Someone who just knows emotions from a very early age and is able to be like, I'm a bit anxious now. I need to go for a walk now at 8. You know what I mean? I think that's kind of the thing you're trying to do. Because it took me years to realize that like, oh, I'm like tired. And I'm angry, and I, you know, and that those are affecting my decisions. I'm making a lot of decisions in emotional states, you know. But if they can acknowledge the emotions and give themselves, like we got this book on being angry, and it was like these two techniques, and it was like, so when you're feeling angry, you should try smelled flowers. Put the flowers in your hand. Try smell the flowers 5 times. You go, or try and blow out the candles 5 times. You know,
cute.
So
just absolutely hoofing flowers. Yeah.
Yeah, but this is what I kept saying to Terry, because I was like, can I not snap at him? And she's like, no, you know, because I wouldn't mind just a nice, not, you know, because my mom once said, I'm going to chase you around the house with an axe. Not hit. Keyword, not hit. I'm going to chase you around the house with a fucking axe. You know, stop. You know,
I think so that's stressed. So good though.
Yeah.
You seem fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like quavering in your voice as you said, yeah. Singing in the window
playing with Tony. Tony isn't here.
Do you ever see those fucking annoying TikTok being like, where people act out these fantasies of talking to their boss and they're like, well, no, because I'm actually scheduled to work only 40 hours.
Oh my God.
And what you've allocated there is probably about 50 hours worth of work. Am I going to be compensated? Mm. Well, if you're going to be a team player, well, I believe my own personal mental health. Like, who the fuck? Do that in real life and film it. Get it on CCTV. Yeah. Let me see you actually be that way to another person, you fucking clown. You are getting a generation of Americans fired.
Yeah.
Fired by going in there, trying to regurgitate this line, watching it shot for shot. Yeah. Well, am I being paid for 40 hours? Or am I being paid more 50 hours? And they're like, what? What?
You know, stay gonna, late.
The blend of
fucking sagged.
The blend of two cults, the therapy speak and corporate jargon mixed together to create the worst people in the world. Mm. That is what's happening now.
I've Terry's caught me out like in a second using therapy speak, where I'm all like I've been watching some TikToks or whatever, and you'll ask me to do something, and I'll be like, Terry, I'm kind of feeling at capacity right now for any kind of, and she's like, what the fuck? It's like, don't be giving me your therapy speak. Like, fucking do your shit. You know, she catches it straight away.
The weaponized therapy speak has been done by people who are mad bastards.
The Jonah Hill therapy speak of like,
yeah.
I mean, we should never have had been privy to the messages of him, you know. I mean, I don't think we should have ever seen these messages. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, and it's when you involve someone in the overall conversation of male abuse and everything, I think it's on one spectrum anyway, not on the very, very far extreme.
Great, but now say what you really think.
But what I really think is he's using this therapy speak to be like, you know, I'm at kind of emotional capacity for seeing you be with other people. Essentially saying, don't see anyone else, don't hang out, don't dress in a certain way. And it's all framed around it. But this is why I've made a choice about my own personal mental health. And if you want to be on along with me, it's still like my way or the highway.
Yeah.
But it's said in this grandiose kind of therapy speak.
What is it? He says, these are my needs.
Boundaries.
My boundaries. Yeah. But his boundaries are just hurt. He's like, it's actually one of my boundaries that you have to just like walk around in a bikini all the time.
Yeah. There is something to be said for that. Right, well, you've expressed all these needs and boundaries. So then these are unfeasible. So that is the end of the relationship. Goodbye.
Yeah.
There is something like, okay, well, that was useful because now I'm out of here.
Two
like.
Therapy speaking AIs.
Yeah.
Very, very solemnly breaking up. Thank you for communicating your boundaries. I'm going to exit now.
You know who's part of it? That conscious uncoupling. That was a moment. That was a cultural shift when Chris Martin and what's her name?
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Gwyneth Paltrow. Apple. One of the worst people on the planet.
Hey, stop it now. That's Pepper Potts from Iron Man we're talking about.
Whatever.
There.
Whatever. She doesn't care about that.
No, she doesn't. She doesn't even know what movie she's in. She's like, I've never been in a Spider-Man. She's like, you've been in all the Spider-Man.
There's a cute...
Has she been in a Spider-Man?
No, she's been in two Spider-Man movies.
There's a cute thing where they were on Graham Norton and then she's like... Tom Holland is on it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like asking her this film and she was like, was I in that? And he's like, yeah, you were. You were in that. And she's like, okay. So I like her for that. But actually, she's an idiot.
But give me that pussy soap, mate.
But you know she has this thing, she had this thing about alkaline water. So they had this thing that people, this is, oh God, this, every time I hate podcasts because I feel like I sound like the radio. Did you guys see this? So Gwyneth Paltrow and then in the background, she had it. Alkaline water, right?
Anyway, here's Doja Cat.
Gap for music, and then come back in. Anyway, she had this thing, alkaline water. She's like, I take alkaline water, and then I just put in a drop of lemon juice. It's like, that's acid. That is the opposite of alkaline. Mm-hmm. Now you have acid water. That's
now
the
you've got
opposite.
A pH neutral water.
Yeah,
you're absolutely. Slapping her in the face with your junior certs.
No.
Junior cert science.
No, I saw a doctor talk about it.
pH 7.
But this bull, I can't understand. I'm becoming, you know the way like millennials, remember when millennial was invented a few years ago and millennial, we were all millennials and we're like, these upstarts, right? And then now, really quickly, millennial is now old thing.
Yeah.
It's old thing really quickly. Yeah. And you're like, okay, this is the natural order,
I feel like
I guess.
We're 6 months away from a new, like after Gen Z, after, you know,
back
Zoomer.
To alpha then, isn't it?
Alpha?
Wait, what?
Alpha comes after Gen Z because that's the end of the alphabet.
Tony told me he was alpha.
Tony thinks he's got the alpha mindset.
No, it's unfortunate. Shane's the alpha.
Shane is the alpha in the young hot guys scenario. It's,
I don't think that's true.
It is very
you
true.
You are the alpha.
You're the alpha.
How am I?
Well, compliment me more.
No, I'm so vulnerable.
Mm. Yeah, you are. But
I'm beta.
Like,
I'm beta, baby.
You're
keep
probably,
it beta.
Probably the most opinionated.
We'll I wanted to do,
what you want to do.
I had this idea of doing like beta influencers going like, what's up beta guys? Where's my beta gang at?
That's great.
So guys, can you please, like when the alphas are coming along, can you just make way, you know, make way.
You should do that.
You guys, so you know the way I've been telling you to like, you know, instead of like dominating conversation like the alphas do, you know, the way you've been like listening to people and kind of like letting them speak. Unfortunately, all the women are more attracted to you now and you're stealing the girls of the alphas and they've been in touch. and they're not happy about it. That's anyway, the reason I didn't do the bit is because you guys didn't laugh just there.
I was wondering what else you could do with it. That's just, you've said it to comedians. I was just thinking, that's exactly, I was like, well, what else could you go with that? Sorry.
I was getting ready to do the comedian response where you say, that's so funny. because you can't laugh at each other's bit.
Well, I do.
I don't mind if you laugh at my jokes, actually.
Well, I have a process, and I can't. It is a boundary for me that I don't want to laugh at your jokes while you're still in development with them.
Now the teacher said, "Draw the line."
Shane, what do you think? Are you a Kardashian fan?
Yeah, I'm absolutely gripped, and I watch it, all of it, and I love what they're doing.
That seems insincere, but I think you are sincere.
No, I'm a big fan of their work. Their powerful,
absolutely,
social change.
Paul Mescal, Gladiator 2. That's exciting, isn't it?
That's very good.
Yeah, it's great. I saw him heartbroken at the Irish, the World Cup loss, kind of shut myself off from it, really, since Ireland lost it. I don't have to talk about it. I know it's not really our vibe here on the podcast, but I was a bit heartbroken.
Oh, did the sports ball team lose? Did you guys not have a good game of sports ball?
Is this your beta cook?
Apologies for not engaging with the sports ball. I tried to watch it, but people keep trying to politicize rugby. It's a fucking game.
Yeah.
It's like, God, it's hard for me to fucking enjoy these guys singing this anthem, Zombie, which is just some fucking partitionist
so much
nonsense. And I'm like, these guys are actually just fucking the echelons of society. And I'm doing accent I'm doing now is
would
just
be pro rugby.
It's just a slightly more enhanced version of my own voice.
Yeah.
But it is just these kind of nonsense take gurus.
Yeah. Then they're like, will Ireland finally end their losing streak against Gibraltar? And this is the fucking team we can get behind. Like, you fucking kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me?
Look at my jersey right now. I'm a big nice green. No matter, and Boys and Girls in Green supporter, USA 94.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, what age were you in 94?
I was 1 year old.
Oh my God.
Yeah. 1 year old, and I remember it's so good when Ray Houghton kicked the ball in the back of that Italian net.
You do not remember.
I obviously don't remember.
I was 90. Wasn't
it? I think he kicked in a lot of goals.
Was that his? Ireland 1, Italy 0?
Yeah.
Is that Ray Houghton?
That's Ray Houghton, I think. Yeah.
Which was I put the ball in the England net. I did.
That's Ray Houghton did
Ray
as well.
Ray Houghton did as well. Yeah.
I remember World Cup 94. It was very exciting. We got drive-through for the first time.
Wow.
And we sent my dad back in to get the caps.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
From McDonald's, they had good caps.
Kind of completely destroying the reason of drive-through. Like, you drove through and then he had to get out of the car and go into McDonald's.
Because he loves his boys.
Get the fucking caps.
Is there something
boys
wrong with a father loving his sons?
That's actually really beautiful.
Yeah, thank you.
Did your mom ever wound up being like, get the fucking caps? That was what my mom would kind of talk like. Get the fucking caps.
Yeah, there was a bit of that.
I can't believe.
That's what my mom said, a lot of that one. And then when talked about cleaning, it was like, I scrubbed this house. I scrubbed. Like, you barely say the word. I scrubbed.
My mom always says she got on her hands and knees. That's what she said. I was on my hands and knees. Yeah. And I'm just like, I'm sorry. I scrubbed that floor. I was on my hands and knees.
You don't really hear that.
You don't really hear that kind of like too much anger being trying to squeeze out of a small space. that pitch you don't really hear much in 2023.
My friend's mom had a good one. She would say, I could stand upside down on my head.
What?
Doesn't make any particular
sense. What?
I could stand upside down on my head and you just wouldn't even know.
You just wouldn't know. Can I talk about scented candles? Because it came up earlier. And
yes,
I don't know what's going on with scented candles. I think they have gone down a lane of a sort of an avenue of which there is no return.
In terms of price?
Well, scented candles, from my understanding, used to be like, smell like roses. And I'm like, oh, roses are lovely. Smell like the flowers. Smell like nice things. Now they are like a bog.
Yes.
You want to smell like a bog. Hey, ever smelled a bog before?
Big brown
fucking candle. Smells like bog.
Yeah.
Big muddy, damp mud. Hey, you know what you want your house to smell like? Damp mud. And then mist, rain.
I want rain, one. You've said mist. This to me now. And as soon as you said that, I'm picturing the candle.
Why?
I'm picturing kind of like a forest green. I'm picturing like maybe a clay pot that's too thick with a candle inside. I want it. I just want it so bad.
I'm glad this has come up though, Killian. Because they don't actually smell like anything anymore.
No, they all smell.
They actually don't. All the ones that are natural smells, they're like, it's beeswax and it's honey from the Liberties. And, you know, it's like, well, it doesn't smell like anything.
No,
so
they all
smell
the same. It's just naming
it doesn't smell
them.
Like anything.
They're all just trying to figure. It's the Paltrow effect.
Yep.
It's Gwyneth. You know, they used to smell like flowers and things like that. Gwyneth came along, made a candle that smelled like her puss. Or like her
vagina, please.
And,
sorry,
vagina, please. And
Vulva.
Her vulva. She made it, and the whole scented candle industry went mental.
Yes.
They're just like, what kind of mental things can we name? We can spend what do people want to smell? They want, like, Timothy Chalamet's armpit, or I don't know. Actually, I would like
that. I wouldn't mind. If we did a Young Hot Guys line of scented candles, what kind of scented space would you like yours to be?
I wouldn't have this issue that, because what it is it's a celebrity. It's just so obvious. Celebrities don't have people saying no around them.
Mm.
They don't have anyone going around them going, actually, Gwyneth, that's actually a bit rotten. I don't think anyone actually wants that.
Yeah, and like, we
wants
need
that
people
in their
to say no to us.
We do need, like,
we do.
Imagine I walked up to you guys. I was like, guys, actually, weird one. I actually think I might make a candle that smells like my balls.
Yeah.
No one's going to, you would both go, that's ridiculous.
I'd be quite curious. I would be curious to have a.
I'd be wondering if you needed help securing the scent.
Celebrities, they do what they want, and no one says no. They're like, actually, but he has this great idea. Yeah, yeah. Like, anyway, that's a thing that I think.
I would give you the scent of maybe a lavender. I think you had like a sleepy time pine, lavender kind of thing. Wood for you, maybe kind of an oud.
Big into wood
smells. Okay, good.
If you want, I'm into smells.
I'd be into a leathery kind of musk.
Yeah, would be ideal
for me. But what do you think of the lavender I gave you?
I'll take. Are you saying that that's what my.
Your scented candle would
my
be.
My scented candle would be.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Lavender. I'd take that.
And I call
actually,
it Sleepy
Boy. Do you know
boy.
What I love? And it's too probably close to food is mint. It reminds me
mint
of Wexford.
Candle.
But then you can't have a mint candle because you'd want to eat it.
Yeah.
And I have a minty and lavendery spray for the bed. The bed sleepy time spray.
You
that's
do?
That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
And you get into bed with Ray. No. Doesn't that just smell nicer?
No. Ray's into it. You know, he's coming along. Sorry, I trampled on your joke. That was funny. Sorry.
It's fine.
You alright?
Hey, fucking don't act like that's the first time you've ever done that.
Talk to your dad.
Talk to your granddad.
I'm into
talk to your granddad about lavender candles.
Ones. But you know what? When the scented candles came in the boom times, they all were vanilla, and it was not real vanilla. And
like, you're staring off into space like you're triggered by this.
It's just I want smells to smell. I want to smell like peat, and I want it to smell like you
moss
know salt
and bog.
And
see, we're
moss
we're
and
we're
bog
the people to buy this shit, Killian. Mm-hmm.
I'm into smells, but I just don't think it's real. I don't think it's real. I think it is a bit of, what you call that story? Emperor's New Lavender. Like, it is a bit Emperor's New Bog for me now, I have to say. And people who have mental health crises, which they're entitled to do, and then are like, I'm making candles.
Oh my God, like,
are you making
crazy?
Candles now?
It's crazy.
Are you making candles? Yeah. What are you doing? It's like, yes. So I'm making candles and it was fine. So, I mean, I got redundancy. They were forced redundancies, but we got redundancies. And then, you know, I'm making
blessing.
Candles. And it's actually great because I've just spent it all on candles. And I'm going to make so many candles.
It's all.
If I just keep making these candles.
I bought 2 miles of wick.
I'm in too deep. I don't know what to do. There's so many candles. Paul left me.
All I had to do was do a kickback to the Red Witch.
Who
I'm.
Yeah, you can give
paying.
It to the teacher at Christmas if you want the candles. The candles.
Do you have any jars? Any jars?
Yeah, bespoke. Is that can I say bespoke? I can sell them at a Bang Bang and Pips.
I know.
And I keep trying to make them smell like vanilla, but they just keep smelling like my own tears. They keep smelling like my own tears.
That's all I can smell.
Single Irish woman tears.
I've lost two friends to candles.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, well, two co-workers.
The candle business.
They've quit and gotten into the candle business. And they're all like, you know, luminescent, lumineer.
What do you mean light. You've lost them? Like, do they?
They know
they're under the candle cult, the Red Witch. You know, they now follow the Lady of the Light, and they all. I wouldn't be surprised if there is some sort of like Ponzi scheme, or at least devil DM being like, you should get into candles. Like, what is
yeah?
The, what
it's
is
it's given
the,
big multi-level marketing energy? What do they call those?
Don't know.
My thing with the candles is the TikTok people who make candles, they make these bespoke kind of candles, and it's all these like young women who've
who kind of like want to be their own business, and it's kind of class. Like they make this content on TikTok and they sell loads of, and they're sort of their own and it's cool. But like the I don't know, the thing with these, a lot of these small TikTok businesses is they sell them for like an astronomical amount.
Yep.
And people always comment going like, what's the story? This, like, yeah, yeah, this is really unaffordable. And they kind of, for some reason, like these small businesses have this kind of like, fuck you mentality.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, actually, this is a bespoke made thing and it takes me hours to do. So I charge it for the rate that it's charged at.
It's like therapy speak or productions, yeah, or like, you know, office speak.
And they're like, it's that famous TikTok song.
Know
like,
your worth.
It costs know that your much worth. It takes me fucking hours.
Yeah, yeah.
It costs that much because all that kind of stuff. I'm like, yeah, but like, I can't just like, because I spent ages writing my stand-up set, I can't just charge people like 50 quid because that's how much I would be able to be, I would make a proper wage if I you can't do it that way.
No.
Your time is no more valuable than anybody else's. Do they have
guess
a specific
what, candles
talent?
Isn't your job then.
Yes.
Guess what, candles isn't your job anymore.
Yeah, yeah,
because
yeah,
you can't charge that. You need to do something, man candles. Sorry, interrupted you.
Yeah, no, but there's a, like sometimes I feel like I'm such a capitalist then because I'm like, when people are like, there's the minimum wage is going up and it's like, we're struggling small business to try and pay this. I'm like, well, you can't afford to have business then. Yeah. Close it. And then I'm like, am I the pig? Then am I the capitalist pig? Close your business. Shut it down. Put a hotel there. I'm like, your business is not viable. None of the businesses are viable. The Aldis and all them, they're like, oh, it's so cheap. It's like, yeah, but no one works there. So like, did I already talk about this in this podcast?
No.
Do I just talk about the same thing all the time? But it was like, they have, it's like, no one works there. So it's really annoying if you can't find a thing and you're like trying to chase around and they're all like hiding or pushing the giant things. And like, no one works here. That's why it's cheap. Because no one works here. Yep. You don't pay anyone. They're like, we pay our staff $14.50. Yeah, but there's two of them.
Yeah, yeah.
There's two of them running a whole super, this is a supermarket. Super.
I do feel that though when I go to like somewhere, like I've it's around Christmas and I'm like, oh, I'll pop into this little boutique, maybe get a little porcelain bell or something, you know? Yeah. And then I go in and it's like, back at 4, out for lunch. This is the only time I'm ever going to try and buy a little tiny porcelain bell. And you blimped it, love. You fucking blimped it.
Like shops that are in Ranelagh.
Yeah.
You know, like, Cooley Boutique.
And you don't know what they sell. You have no idea. You're like, what is this a shop for? They just have like cloth. And you're like, is that a curtain? They're like, oh, it's just really good material. It's from Egypt.
I might start shopping in some sort of like ultra kind of like reflective suit so they can't physically stare at me. Do you know what I mean? Because I'd shop much, if I just knew that they couldn't see me and I was just giving off serious light, then I would like look at the little bells and see what I like. But as soon as they lock eyes at me, I'm like, oh, fuck this now. I'm going to have to, you know.
I'm going to buy the first bell that this guy suggests.
You know, just yeah, so or just like, I don't really want to talk. I don't know what I want. I want to treat this like a HMV, you know, and just have a look. I want to browse the DVDs. I don't want to talk about your wares, you know.
Yeah.
So I'll put on a ultra bioluminescent suit that's so bright that it's like, ah, you know, and I'm just like looking at little bells.
Well, that, I mean, if you're going in there, you might as well steal the stuff. If you've got, if you've managed to orchestrate this suit, you might as well just,
might as well
just steal.
You can't miss them. Officer,
the luminescent glow has hit 3 more shops on the main street this week. The luminescent glow, it's unsure as to what, who this luminescent glow is, but he's going through all the small boutiques and stealing little porcelain bells.
If you hear ringing, it's already too late. If you see a light.
He's here. Shut the shutters. Scooby-Doo episode where they pull it off. It's just you. Like little earrings or porcelain bells.
It's influencer Tony Cantwell. And I would have gotten away with it for you, Gardy Shiacana.
Yeah. Fuck small businesses.
Fuck
anyway.
Small. No.
I do love small businesses.
I love it.
They're so tiny. They're so
the
little.
The businesses? Yeah.
Yeah. They're really tiny.
They're good.
I really do like them.
I mean, I wish we all had the money to spend €70 on a candle. You know, I love that's your dream. I love, my favorite thing to do is candles. So that's it. That's the end of it.
Candles in our house, my granny sent me, and they were religious candles. Somehow, I think they've been blessed. And they were the candles we used. And that's the way it was back then.
They
were very oppressive, red, religious candles. And every time I looked at them, I remembered that I was responsible for the crucifixion of Jesus. And that's how I felt all the time. I actually thought of my granny. It was lovely.
Oh, that's very nice. Sorry, I was putting... Terry had COVID and I was running, she had a sore back as well, and I was running a bath for her. She was the first bath in the house that we're in. So I put a bath on, lit a load of candles for her. I had it all tidied and everything in the bathroom. took the nappies that were just strewn away out of there. They weren't in there anymore.
You took the shit out of there.
Took the shit out of there. Oh my God, well done. I was like, go on in there. And I was walking in, I got a fucking bang of citron. There were citronella candles to scare mosquitoes away.
Oh, no.
And they were everywhere. And I got a fucking waft in the face. Now, luckily, she had COVID and she couldn't smell anything. But the fucking bang of citronella off her afterwards.
She's just like clawing at the door, her eyes bleeding.
Yeah.
Tony, what and have you done?
No mozzies. It was a mozzie-free bath that I was.
That's what you're doing. It's important. Yeah. The okay, that was good.
They were bright yellow or bright orange tea lights, so I kind of should have known that they weren't your traditional tea lights.
These are cheap.
I have
them. Yeah, they're so cheap.
I have them, yeah.
Yeah, they're good.
Under the sink. I put them under
the sink now.
Yeah, they would go in with the other candles. They are for under the sink. They wouldn't, you know, they go in there.
Yeah.
Well, all in sundries under the sink. Oh, I need to do a job on that, actually. I need to do a job on that press.
Yeah, me too.
Something has to be sorted out there.
Killian, it's about time someone said this. You're a joke.
Do you know you go to the Jacks in the Inter, in the International? Sorry, we're talking shop here a bit here. Sorry, guys. But we do comedy in the International and you go down to the Jacks and it's like, it's one of the dirtiest toilets I've ever seen in real life. Acrid. But also, they have one of those, it's almost they have one of those hot fans that are meant to be blowing hot air out, but it's blowing in to the pub from the Indian next door. So it's blowing hot Indian spice right in your face as you take a piss. And I'm a fan of that smell normally, but not blasted in my face with a bit of spice of a piss. Do you know upstairs in the Inter where they have like all the seating, like they found all the furniture from, it was McDonald's were getting rid of it. And McDonald's furniture is made in a lab to make sure that you can only sit comfortably for half an hour. Like it's made so that your posture is in such a way that you don't want to stay there for very long so that you have more turnover of customers at McDonald's. That's the furniture they have in the Inter for Ireland's, you to sit there and watch people do their show.
Ireland's iconic comedy club.
Ireland's iconic oldest comedy club.
I did a gig in the Inter on Tuesday.
How did it go?
It was good.
Michaelis?
It was, sorry?
Michaelis?
No, they have the mic back.
I had a mic. I had a microphone.
It's been a while.
The seller has the mic again.
Okay.
You know you're on the posters.
Am I?
You're on all the posters. Yeah.
Sharon Mannion's posters.
Just like the general kind of like, come to the Inter. It's got comedy. Your face is on it. Your face isn't on it. Shane.
Isn't it on the, that's the comedy seller at the Inter, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
I'm not on any of them, just so as you know.
Good.
But I did look at people on the poster and go, I should be there instead of him, or I should be. I was very jealous that I wasn't on the poster. But we did a gig. Nice. It was fun.
I like
you got up.
Slipping occasionally.
Yeah. Killian Sullivan, nicest guy in the world. Deeply obsessed with himself. Like, he's huge. He's in comedy 18 months, he thinks.
He actually brought a framed picture to hang in the Inter himself.
Yeah, I did, actually. I did. It actually went pretty well. Someone had written Donald Trump. I was able to do this bit because as I had been cycling in to the gig, I cycled to my gigs, I cycled past these two American tourists.
Why do you present that as a brag?
I cycled past two American tourists and I was at the traffic lights and two American tourists were walking past and they asked this man if he could give them directions to Pierce Street Station. And they went, excuse me, could you give us directions to Pierce Street Station? And then the guy turned to them and went, I don't know. Who did you vote for?
Oh my God, I love it.
Love it.
I did one of those nights in Edinburgh with Vittorio Angeloni. It was very fun. I was very scared. Mm. It was like a crowd work night called Off the Cuff.
Mm. Oh yeah.
And the audience put in suggestions and then you do 10 minutes on your own. It's like absolutely terrifying.
Mm.
But it's quite exhilarating.
Yeah, it's because you get somewhere. You do end up getting somewhere. And then you're kind of like, You get more very comfortable on stage because you're just making stuff up and you're making people laugh on the basis of that.
And it's also fine if it fails. It was really nice to have do comedy, do stand up without the pressure of it must go well, because you're like, obviously if it doesn't go well, they don't care because they're like, well, he's making it up, so
yeah,
you know, give him a break. They're
but
like, also
you can't like if it's your own material and it doesn't land, it's hard to pivot into a new punchline of your own material. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
But you can move around and navigate thoughts and act like this wasn't the whole picture to begin with. But when you sometimes present the whole picture and they don't laugh, then it's kind of like,
sad.
Oh. You know?
They're like, you're not worthy.
Mm-hmm.
You are not worthy of our laughter.
I can hear my skin right now.
Yeah.
Can hear my pulse.
I can hear it creak. Yeah, but good gig, you recommend?
Yeah, I felt great afterwards. Mm. I felt like I think the best comedian in the world.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that. Definitely top three.
Yeah. She goes cycling home, shouting "fuck Trump" as loud as he could.
Where are those two people actually? Yeah, fuck you, fuck you,
you bear about Biden. Not even I'm anti-Trump. I'm just so pro-Biden. You better fucking vote with Biden.
I know. It's like it's Biden. Like, what if they'd voted Biden? Like, who? Like, he's...
I mean...
Then he would have given them directions quicker, maybe. But I know you're not supposed to be ageist and whatever. But, like, somebody was like, Trump's whatever, nearly 80 as well, isn't he? Mm-hmm. And then somebody was like, there is a real danger of Trump. If he gets back in, he'll be president for life. And then someone was like... Yes, I'll just spend 4 more years anyway. So, like, chill out. I thought it's so funny. Like, I love that the dramatics of the Americans. We are about to enter a fascist dictatorship under Trump for the rest of our lives. Like, yeah, he'll be dead. Like, what do you say? And it won't. Anyway, will you
stop? There was a really good, when Joe Biden was elected president, someone just really going, God, I wish Joe Biden was alive today to see this.
I don't want to be ageist, but I do think... Just get out of the way. Like, at a certain point, get out of the way.
I think...
Do you know, even in a workplace situation, I'm like, sometimes there is unpaid labor of younger people helping older people who pretend not to know how to work their things.
Totally. Mm. But I think
they won't get on board with, like, chat functions.
Yes.
They won't do it.
Yeah.
They're just like, I'll email you. I'll phone you. It was like, if you just answer that, it's like a text, but it's on the computer. Do you get it? And it's like, I never use that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you should.
No.
Nuala?
No, I think text and messaging and chat, unless it's specifically like Slack, I think that should be getting rid of from the workplace.
WhatsApps. Haven't had colleagues for years.
No, I haven't. Yeah.
Yeah, especially with tech kind of stuff. I have a friend who worked in the civil service and they couldn't open this very important document. They were like, we can't open it. Like, fucking, the minister's coming and we don't know how to open it. It's not, I don't know what's going on. It's broken. The file's corrupted.
What a sitcom set up.
The minister is coming.
Yeah.
Mr. Yakitori is coming.
But if you work in civil service, there is always a minister coming at some point. He's coming pretty soon.
He's on his way and he needs the file to present.
You've slurred a couple of things now. You've gone very Kerry Katona now this morning.
No. Well, I'm on
medication. Oh, sorry, I forgot you're on medication.
Okay, so the minister's coming.
Minister's coming. Sorry, Killian.
Minister Kerry Katona is on her way. And
Minister Katona will be here in a minute.
Minister Katona is there with all of the kittens. And
hadn't spoken to them in years. It was going to be the reunion.
Anyway, he's not able to open it. Everyone's freaking out. And my friend just goes to the thing, right clicks it, and like, it's obviously been assigned the wrong software to open
this.
So he's trying to open a PDF with some sort of like Word file or something like that. So he just right clicks it and does open with, and then opens it with some sort of PDF viewer, and it opens up, and like the head of the department sends an email to every single person working there going, guys, disaster averted. Technological genius. Our new technological genius has saved this very department. And he's like, Jesus, this is the people who are in charge of like running things.
Guys, please can I have your attention because I'm only going to nip out on the punter once.
I did this. There's a new app. Maybe it's not new, but I've just come into contact with this app where there's food that it no longer has shelf life, very much shelf life. So businesses will make a thing called a surprise box. They'll put it all together and then you can pick it up at certain times of the day, usually at the end of the day, and you pay like a very reduced amount. And I was like, oh, this is kind of environmental. This is cool. It looks like you're going to make, because they'll say this thing is worth like 20 quid and you're paying like €5.
Wow.
So I was like, oh, this sounds class. So I went to one of the shops to get, I paid €6 for this surprise bag. I'm like, what is it going to be? I went up to the guy and I was like, vegetarian, no meat, please. And he was like, vegetarian, okay. And then he came back, gave me a bag. And I was like, do you know what? It feels really heavy. I'm going to wait till I get home and me and Anna can open it together. Do you know what was in it? A thing of bananas, two little fruit bowls, and then a massive gâteau. Like the biggest cake I've ever seen, like a Black Forest gâteau.
Was it good?
It was the silliest cake I've ever eaten in my life.
Okay.
It was just made of cream.
Did you think it was going to be your...
Like you had to eat it soon.
We had to eat it like yesterday. This cake, we sliced into it. I was like, a final eater. We sliced into it and it just kept going. The cream just kept going. It's a Bavarois. It's a French style. It's just made of cream.
Wow.
It was the silliest cake. I took one bite. I was like, that's silly. I can't eat that. It's too silly.
And did you think you were opening your dinner?
I was like, oh, this is going to be classic. Maybe we could eat some bananas and cream.
You can't.
And we literally, the cake, ate as much of it as we could and then gave some to the neighbors and then in the bin.
That's very sweet.
It was not good. And we will try again. We will try again with this app. But
I got an app
so
for you
far,
for old food. It's called the fucking bin, mate. It's on the fucking bin. And I've been there. I've eaten out of bins.
We're just about out of time, so thank you so much, everybody who sent in your job interview horror stories.
Oh, God, we didn't get time.
We will hopefully get back to them next week. We have them coming, so do send them in.
Send in the job interview. We did read some of them. Now, oh my God, you guys are crazy. You guys are crazy, but do send in, and we will get to them next week.
We will get to them next week.
And also, if you can send in a list of stuff you're going to talk to your granddad about as well, we'd be great. Granddaddicks.
Granddad chats. What do we do when we have them? No one knows. So let's send in some granddad chats, and thanks so much for listening
to
the podcast. You guys are crazy.
Bye. Bye.
Dinner attractive.
Very attractive.
Hot and loud.
And a little bit sad.
He was the best guy around.
Oh my. Is it hot in here or what?
You're an attractive guy.
It's the fabulous Tony Cantwell.
I'm talking about Shane Daniel Byrne.
Idiots on the ball!
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Head Stuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Head Stuff Plus.